You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Hey, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Proverbs 3. Got a simple message for you this morning. Just something stirring inside of me. Actually, this Proverbs 3, it's about trusting God. It's about putting your faith in God and not yourself. Actually, the first verse really I ever got a hold of when I got saved, besides John 3:16, back in 1975, in May of 1975, I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, completely turned my life around. Came out of a wild life, and Brent and I were married at the time, you know, but I you know, came out of drugs and jails and just messed up, just real messed up. And I accepted Jesus, and it completely turned my life around, completely changed my life. And then later called me to teach and to minister and called me to pastor, and here I am today. And I'll forever be grateful and thankful for that. But I remember those days when I first got saved. I didn't know anything about God. I didn't know anything about the Bible at all, nothing. You know, I was raised when I was real young. We went to church when I was real little. But as I grew up, I got out of church and became very atheistic. I got into drugs and got kicked out of high school and, you know, just lost. You know, just like a lot of people, just lost, didn't know the Lord. And so when I got saved, it was a whole new deal for me. The only thing I could remember was singing "Jesus Love Me This I Know" in Sunday school, you know. But I didn't know I didn't know where the books of the Bible were. I didn't know, hardly anything. So I just started devouring the Bible. I didn't realize I was called to teach. I didn't know that for another year. But boy, I got saved, and I wanted to know about God. I wanted to know what the Bible said. I just turned my life, I just turned my life over to Jesus. And so I decided if I was going to do that, then I was going to find out what this was all about. And then I had made this early on, this amazing assumption, I guess, logical conclusion, that if I turn my life over to John 3:16, which I had done that. I remember that. I was 19 years old. I said, if I turn my life over to John 3:16, that it's the truth and it's not a lie. And I'm going to live my whole life based on this and stake my whole future on this, that I'm going to stake my future and my whole life on the rest of the Bible too. I'm going to take it as God's Word. Now I'm going to dig in here and find out what He says. And I did. And Brenda can testify to that. I'd go to work, and I'd come home, and I'd go in a closet. I had this little card table in a closet, and I had to stack index cards, and I began to read the Bible for hours a day. And I would write every verse that would just jump at me. I'd write on an index card. Well, hey, you know, when you don't know anything about God, every verse in the Bible jumps at you. So my wall was just filled with index cards, scriptures. I was just so hungry for what God had to say. And one of the first verses I ever got a hold of was Proverbs 3:5. And it kind of set the course, you know, for my Christian walk. After I got saved, obviously accepted Jesus. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. That obviously was the first thing. But after that, after I got saved, this verse, the fifth verse, Proverbs 3, says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Wow. Now, that's just a mouthful right there. It's one thing to say trust in God, but do you even know what He says to trust? You have to know what He says to trust Him. And that's why I was on a quest to find out what He said. And it's since read the Bible more than once. Read the Bible I don't know how many times since then. Most years I can read through the Bible a couple of times a year, 2.5 times or so, if I'm really, you know, serious, hitting it hard. And I've read it in a lot of different translations. But I begin to read and I begin to study and find out what God says and not what man says, not what I thought, not what I thought about God or what man thought about God. Listen, don't put yourself at the mercy of the preacher. And I are one. Are you with me? You find out if what I'm saying is the truth. You go read your Bible. You follow along with me. When I quote a scripture, you look it up and see if it really does say that. Because it really doesn't matter what I say. It matters what God says. Amen. And you'll find that if you'll put your trust in Him and not yourself, your life will be so much better. Oh, hallelujah, let me testify. I could stand here all day long telling you how good my life has been, how much better it's been, how much greater it's been, how much less stress and less worry I've had, and how God has blessed me. Oh, He's been good to me. because I've trusted him. And when I hadn't trusted him, it's been a mess. You know, but when I have trusted him, when I do trust him, he always comes through. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. You're not that smart. God is. Brother Osteen used to always, John Osteen, I always had to qualify that. John Osteen, Joel Osteen's father, who was our pastor for years in Houston, used to always say this. He says, you know what the greatest revelation is I ever received from God? And he was real animated. He was a real preacher. He was just the opposite of Joe. Joe was just, you know, just the sweetest, kindest guy you ever meet and just awesome. I love Joe. Love what he's doing. I'm for him. We support him monthly from our church and what he's doing all around the world. People are getting saved by the millions. I mean, it's amazing. But his dad was just totally different than Joe. His dad was just animated. He was a preacher. He would run from one side to the other and jump up and down and get you stirred up. I mean, he was just amazing. I just loved Brother Osteen. But he would say, you know what the greatest revelation is I ever received from the Lord? Do you really want to know? If you really want to know, lift up your right hand. You know, and everybody would lift their right hand. He said, well now, if you really want to know what the greatest revelation I ever received from God is, lift up your left hand. Come on, get it up there. And he'd get you involved. And everybody's going, yeah, you know. And before long, he'd have you standing up. And boy, we're going, what is this revelation? Here it is. Are you ready? Here it is. God is smarter than I am. And we go, okay. But that is the greatest revelation you'll ever receive from God. God is smarter than you are. He knows more than you do. And that's why he gave us the Bible. He told us to come to church and pray and seek his face because we don't do so well without him. We're not that smart without him. So we got to learn to not lean to our own understanding, but to trust God. Man, we're living in a time when we need to trust God. Are you with me? We need to develop a faith in the Lord because things don't always look so good out here. Sometimes the stress comes in, the worry comes in. You know, the doom, gloom prognosticators get on the news and tell us everything's going bad and it's getting worse. Well, it was bad, but now it's worse. Hello. And just no good news. You just don't hear any good news. Well, that's why you come to church, to hear the good news. Glory. There is hope. There are answers. God's not dead. He's alive. He's still on the throne. He still loves us. He's still for us. His word's still true. You know, the Bible says that in Psalms 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Hallelujah. I shall not lack is what that means. And Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Paul said that. Said that to the Philippians. He was encouraging them to trust God, that God really would supply their needs, not according to government, not according to a thousand ways we look to get help. But he says, according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now you may be thinking, well, Paul wasn't living in the time we're living in. Well, you don't know much about Paul. Because Paul was living under the Roman government. Where they had an emperor, okay? Where they didn't worship God. Where they had pagan gods. Where they persecuted Christians. And yet he could say, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Wow. Pretty good stuff. Amen. Paul went through a whole lot more than you and I go through. And yet he still said, many of the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth us out of them all. Amen. Hallelujah. See, we got to learn this trust issue. There's a trust issue going on here. If you're in fear and you're stressed out, then you need to look at your trust level. Where are you in your trust level? Are you trusting God? Whatever it is you're stressed out about, you're not trusting God about. I can tell you that right now. I know. I've been there. I catch myself constantly stopping and saying, wait a minute. What am I doing all this worried about? God said thus and so. Why don't I just trust him? Why don't I just believe him and quit leaning to my own understanding? You know, you get older, you get real smart, you get things figured out, you get to where you think you're smarter than God, but you're not. You're not. That's only a few years in your life when you're a teenager. That passes real quick, are you with me, when you get past the teenage years. But so he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge. Oh, whoa, here it goes. This is it. Now, see, this is where we miss it right here. we don't always acknowledge him, do we? We don't always take everything to him in prayer. What is that old song, you know? What a friend I have in Jesus. What a friend I have in Jesus. All my sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. See, that's what we don't do. We don't always carry everything to God in prayer. We don't always acknowledge him in all of our ways. We're going through this mess and we haven't even prayed about it. We hadn't trusted him because we hadn't even acknowledged him. But God wants us to acknowledge him in everything that we do. Everything. I don't care if it's a job. You're not a Christian just on Sundays. You're not just a... I heard, what was it that Jan Moore said the other day, called a CN... I don't know, I like to say CEO. We're not CEO Christians. That's Christmas, Easter, and other holidays. Hello. We're Christians 100% of the time, all the time. Whether we're on the job, whether we're in the house, you know, our kids, our children should see us serving God and believing God and trusting God and praying and believing and turning things over to the Lord. You know, our children were raised up when they cut their finger. I mean, they didn't run to mama so she'd kiss it. They ran to mom and dad so we could pray. And they were quick about it. I mean, said, hey, pray. In fact, you know, if you pray, I think it was Amanda's, was it Mikhail or Annie, you prayed for and you didn't pray for the pain to go away? Or was that just, I made that up, okay? Yeah. I have 18 grandchildren. It's easy to get confused on who it was. But one of them, and one of my kids and one of my grandkids, came up to their mom and daddy and wanted to be prayed for, and they prayed for, you know, prayed for the finger or whatever's wrong, and they said, you didn't pray for the pain to go away. I mean, they're listening, you know, for that to pray right in Jesus' name. And so they went back and prayed again and prayed for the pain to go away. Trust the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, acknowledge him in all your ways. We ought to acknowledge God in everything. We ought to raise our children in the Lord and be quick to pray. When things go wrong, we ought to teach our children to pray. When they need help in school, we ought to sit down with them. We ought to help them with their homework if that's the case. But we ought to pray that God will give them wisdom and get them to pray. And get them to pray over their subjects they're having trouble with. We've always done that with our children. Our grandchildren are doing the same thing. I mean, our children could testify, our grandchildren, to how that God has helped them with their grades. The grades start going down, they'll start praying, start getting scriptures and quoting scriptures over their classroom and teachers and over their mind. And all of a sudden, the grades start picking up. Wow, what a coincidence. Are you with me? No, it's just acknowledging God in all your ways. Pray over your business deals. Pray for concrete. Glenn, just pray for lots of concrete. People are pouring concrete everywhere, all over, acres of it. Whatever it is that you do, you know, you pray over it. You acknowledge God in it. And it says if you acknowledge him, notice what it says here, acknowledge him in all your ways, he will direct your paths. Wow. Nothing like having the direction of the Lord, amen? Having just some leading. God, just tell me where to go. What do you want me to do? Well, you have to acknowledge him for that to happen. And if you'll do that, I mean, there's such wisdom in here. And all the psalmist is getting us to do is to get stress-free, to get worry-free, to get our dependency on God, to get our focus on the Lord. It's when you take your focus off God that you get in trouble. In more ways than one. Not just the mess that your life turns into, but the stress and the worry that comes along with it. The interest that you pay on the pain. You know, having a problem is one thing, but the worry is just compound interest. You out there? The stress, the worry. Sometimes we worry about a lot of things that never happen. I think as Mark Twain says, I've been through a lot of terrible things in my life, some of which actually happened. So acknowledge him in all of our ways. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. That's a promise. I'd stand on that. I'd remind God, says, God, you said right here, I'm coming to you, here I am. Now, I'm thanking you for giving me wisdom. It's exactly what James 1:5 says, if you're writing notes down. James 1:5 says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally. Let him ask in faith, nothing waver, and it shall be given. Yes. Amen? So we come to God expecting to receive, expecting to get that answer, hallelujah. Expecting to get that direction in our lives. And if we acknowledge him, we will. And he comes back to this same point, 7th verse. Be not wise in your own eyes. Wow. I used to go to church. I don't need church anymore. I've heard everything there is to hear. I've heard every sermon. I read every book in the Bible once. Hello. Well, I've read every book in the Bible lots of times, and I still learn. I still see things that I hadn't seen before. I still get truth out of it. It's an inexhaustive book. It's a revelation. You're never going to learn it all if you read it every day the rest of your life, because it's God's book. It's God's word. And he's going to speak to you some way, somehow, in your situation, where you are today, like you never heard before. I mean, you'll see a verse, you'll think, man, where did that come from? Many times I'll run across a verse and I'll think, God, you just put that in there. I know that wasn't in there the last time I read this Bible. But it was there. But the timing was right. I was ready to hear it. Amen? And I needed it that given time. So he says, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Oh my, does our country need to hear this? Wow. We become so smart we don't need the Bible. We become so smart we don't need morality. We become so smart that we justify every sin you can imagine. And we defend people's right to sin. We defend people's right to use the most foul language under the, you know, freedom of speech. And yet when you talk about Jesus, all of a sudden that's not covered. Now, is that convoluted? Is that twisted? I don't understand that. I have the right to say the most ungodly, foul things under freedom of speech, but as soon as I say Jesus, I violated somebody's rights. Yeah. It's like we twist the Constitution and we twist things to defend immorality instead of morality, and we need to bring this nation back to morality. We need to bring our lives back to morality. What is right? What is holy? What is just? What is true? Live humbly, do justice, love mercy. Amen? He says, be not wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. No, it's not going to help you to lie. It's not. You may think you're going to get by and be successful by telling a little lie, but don't do it. Fear God. Yeah, you could slip a little money under the table there and get by with a bribe. Or No. Fear God. Fear God. Amen? Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. And depart from evil. Run from it. Yeah. Hallelujah. Go the other direction. Live holy. You know, I've always said this. The reason, you know, Brent and I have been married 40 years. And the reason I stay faithful to Brent is two reasons. Number one, I fear God. Number two, I fear Brenda. But fearing God keeps me straight. And I don't know if he doesn't show up, she will. So. No. That's a good fear. Are you with me? That's a good fear. I don't want to fall into the hands of God if I've sinned. I don't want to unrepentant sin, rebellion sin. But now I want to run to him. I want to run to him and for forgiveness and for mercy and for love. But if I'm just rebellion, see, God's a consuming fire, but it only burns at a distance. The closer you are, the less it burns. The further away from God you get, the more it burns. Strange, isn't it? That he's not like that. If you're close to him, he loves you. You love him. You want to get close to him. But when you sin, you get in judgment. You know, and that's your choice. That's not God's. God doesn't abandon you. You abandon him. But he says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Now listen to this. Are you ready for this? This is not just a bunch of rules that God wants you to keep because he likes to give out rules. And he just likes everything to be in its place, and he likes you to just do the right thing because God just got a rules. God just likes rules. He likes it this way. You know, OCD, you know, he's just got everything's got to be laid in place. Just like the monk, he's got to straighten everything out. God's just the fixer and the straightener out there, and he doesn't care about you. He just wants rules, and he wants you to keep the rules. No, he wants to bless you. He wants to help you. He loves you. And that's why he tells you to do these things, because he always has something good in mind. Your best interest, hallelujah. If you will do this, 8th verse, it shall be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. Hallelujah, somebody. Amen. Woo! In other words, living right is the best thing you can do for yourself and for your children and for your grandchildren and for the city that you live in. Amen. You ever notice on the news these people get shot and get stabbed and get killed? They were just doing the right thing at 2 o'clock in the morning in the parking lot of a bar somewhere. Hello. Just minding their own business, walking holy, drinking all night long. Are you with me? I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just saying, if you'll just be examine this, there are parts of town you don't want to go. There are things you don't want to do. Why is that? So you'll live longer. Rules are just for our benefit. Thank God for rules on a highway. You know, if there weren't rules on a highway, we'd be running into each other and nobody knowing when to stop and when to go and what side of the road to be on. In fact, that ribbon of asphalt out there and concrete that goes all around this great country that gets us from one place to the other, that's such a blessing to all of us because we have highway rules, would become a death trap without rules. Commandments are good. I love commandments. Tell me which way I need to go, what I need to do. Give me some instruction. I want to arrive safely. How about you? Amen? And so there's rules to life, and God's telling us here that if we'll just learn to trust, come on, hit your knees, pray. Getting a little shaky, your knees knocking. The best thing to do with knees that are knocking is to kneel on them. Get on your knees and trust God and call out on God. Hallelujah. You'll live longer. My life's a whole lot better since I got saved. Oh, my goodness. It is so much better living morally instead of immorally. Now, I've got no stones to throw, and I'm not pointing fingers at anybody because I was lost too. All of us were lost. So we don't hate people that are lost. Are you with me? And we're not looking down on them. We're just saying that's a losing way to go, and God's trying to get them back around. The clarion call of the church is, come on, bring the adulterer. Bring the homosexual. Stay with me. Bring the robber. Bring the liar. If they'll repent and come to Jesus, we don't hate anybody. If they'll turn around and come to the Lord, God will forgive them. Sure, getting quiet in here. You say, well, I don't want those kind of people in the church. What, you got a church full of them right now? All of us had a past, didn't we? I don't want to go around asking everybody what you used to be or did. I don't want to know. I just don't want to know. But the idea that those kinds of people, we don't want them in a church. What is it? We're all those kinds of people. What are you talking about? Maybe some of us weren't. Maybe some of us were raised in better homes, and that's good. But I tell you, all of us have a past. Every saint has a past. Every sinner has a future. Yeah. So there's no condemnation. There's just we need instruction. We need to get saved, and then we need instruction. My people perish for lack of knowledge. We need to find out what God says and find the way to walk in it and walk in it. Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise God. Is helping anybody? Yeah. All right. If just one of y'all repents, it'll be worth it. Now, doing this, it says it will be health to you, health to your neighbor. That's old King. I'm reading out a new King James version here, but health to your body, health to you. Praise God! Did you know doctors and medical doctors even tell you that stress oftentimes, tends to sickness and disease and causes all kinds of problems. And the healing process, it just shuts down the healing process in many cases. People that worry, people that have no sense of community, no sense of belonging, have nobody that loves them. And, it's unhealthy, that kind of attitude. So here, if we'll do these things and live this way, it will be health to us, and it will be strength and marrow to our bones. Hallelujah. Good stuff. Amen? If you want to live long and prosper, as Spock says, then obey God. Do God's word. We're talking to Christians. You're born again. You know Jesus. Let's live for God. Amen? Let's live moral. Let's live holy lives. And let's teach those things to our children. And let's leave a legacy. Praise God. I want to leave a legacy. I want my children to know that their daddy, and I want my grandchildren to know their papa and their mimi lived for God, loved God, lived holy. Are you with me? Not because we're special, but because we trust God, because we fear God in a good way. And I want that to be in their minds. I want that example to be in front of them all the time. I don't want to give a bad example. Life's more than me. I affect more people than myself. You do. All of us are leaders in some circle in some sense. Amen? So let's lead. Let's lead in the right direction and not the wrong direction. It shall be health to your navel, or health, healing, and marrow to your bones. Ninth verse, honor the Lord with your substance. We talked about offerings earlier. We talked about getting in the kingdom of God, investing into the kingdom, being a part of what God's doing. There again, God's not just trying to get your money. He's trying to bless you. He says, honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your increase. So shall your barns be filled with plenty. Woo! excess abundance from just giving to people, helping people. Hallelujah. I love that. If you will just get out of yourself and get over yourself. We got over you a long time ago. Get over yourself and start helping people. Instead of just thinking of ways you can make it, think of ways you can help others make it. Instead of just trying to fulfill your dreams, help other people fulfill their dreams. And you help enough people fulfill their dreams, you'll get your dreams fulfilled. You help enough people make it, God will help you make it. Hallelujah. If you will just honor God in this deal, okay? If you will set the tithe aside, giving, set something aside for the work of God to help other people. That's what he's talking about. Honor the Lord with the first fruits of your substance, with your substance and the first fruits of all your increase. So shall your barns be filled with plenty, and presses shall burst forth with new wine. Hallelujah. Well, so you'd have to go build some barns because you don't have, you know, you got to have barns to be filled, right? Okay, a couple of you got it, a couple of you didn't. Hallelujah. Honoring God has benefits. Trusting God has benefits. Acknowledging God has benefits. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fearing the Lord has benefits. This is the best way to live. Hallelujah. Proverbs 4. We'll close this out. Helping anybody? Amen. Hallelujah. You've got to be strong, serve God. You know, you. Hallelujah. People talk about, you know, being weak and using Jesus as a crutch. Well, you know, if you're crippled, you need a crutch. Are you out there? And to be strong, to serve God, you got to be tough to serve God. You got to have, I heard, hey, got to have three bones. You got to have a backbone, and you got to have a wishbone, and you got to have a funny bone. You out there? Proverbs 4:20. Notice what it says. My son, attend to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. There it is again. This is just instruction from Proverbs on how to live, trusting God and putting him first in your life. Simple stuff, not complicated. Brother Osteen used to say, you know what I got for you today is not meat and potatoes, but it's cornbread and beans, but sometimes we need cornbread and beans. Amen. I love cornbread and beans. Carol made me some turnip greens with turnips in them, and she said you'll have to make your own cornbread. 20th verse, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear to my sayings. Everybody say God's sayings. You know, you may come up with all these schemes and scams, but you need to be hearing what God has to say. You may have heard some other schemes and scams, but you need to be hearing what God has to say. Amen? You need to pay attention to what God says. In fact, when we come to church, we ought to come with the intention of hearing something that's going to change our life, hearing something that's going to put us on the right road, hearing something that's going to get us on the right path. Man, I'll tell you, I'm on the wrong road. Get me off this road and get me on the right one. Amen? Man, I don't know what's going on here, but I don't like where I'm going. Well, if you don't like where you're going, get off the road you're on. Amen? Let's turn our thinking around. Albert Einstein said, you will not solve the problems that you created with the same level of thinking that you created them. You know, you're going to have to change your thinking, change the way you're looking, change something, because you keep going down the same road, you're going to get to the same destination. You will never get to Dallas heading east. You're going to have to turn around and head west. Amen? So he says, my son, attend to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. In other words, think about God. Come on. Think about his word. Think about his promises. Just what we're preaching here today. Chew on it this week. Think about it. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to acknowledge God today. I just realized I'm halfway down the road, almost to work, and I hadn't even prayed. God, I just come to you right now, and I turn this day over to you. I turn this job over to you today. Lord, give me wisdom. Give me favor with key people when I talk to people. Just put me in contact with the right people. And Lord, give me the words to say. I thank you for strength today. I thank you for a sharp mind today. I have the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind, not the spirit of fear. And this is the day you make, God, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. I'm going to rejoice because this is your day. It's not a bad day. It's a good day. It's a God day. You know, just turn it over to God. If you catch yourself halfway to work, just do it. If you catch yourself after you get to work, you realize you did. Just bow your head and pray right there. Hallelujah. Amen. Attend to his words. Think about what he's saying. Think about God. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they, here it is again now, he's just trying to help you. I heard Norval Hayes say one time, he had an encounter with God, a vision of God. And anybody heard of Norval Hayes? Norval Hayes was a Bible teacher, still alive, actually. He was a businessman and a Bible teacher years ago. And he was praying, and God appeared to him and just overwhelmed him, you know, with his presence. And what he said to him was this. He says, "People try to complicate me, and all I want to do is love them." And that is so true. I mean, make God out to be a million things, and we try to complicate God, but really the bottom line is God just wants to love us. And to do that, there are rules. To do that, there are things, because he wants to help us, see? He wants to help us get on our feet and go the right direction, because we are shooting ourselves in the foot. We are killing ourselves, as it were, because we're not obeying God. We're not doing the right thing. We're hateful. We're mean. We're not forgiving. We're not merciful. And you know what? That is messing us up. The hater hurts. You're hurting yourself when you do that. And God wants to turn the whole thing around. We don't always like rules, but we need them. And if God really loved us, he will give us rules. Charity's not in her issue. Okay, I can tell this on Charity. Charity was a challenge when she was growing up, I can tell you what. But she got through that, hallelujah. I'm believing it anyway. No, there was a point where Charity wanted to do something. Teenage years where you know everything, you know. And she wanted to do something. I said, "No, honey, you I'm not going to let you do that. You can't go with those people. I'm not going to let you go out with those people. I don't like them. You know, this is not somebody I want you hanging around with," something along those lines. And she said, "Well, if you love me, you'd let me. You know, hey, you don't get away with that in my house, okay? That doesn't work with me." I said, "Oh, if I loved you, I'd let you. Let me tell you something. Honey, you want less love, not more love. It is because I love you that I won't let you go with those people." And she had a dog. It was a Shar-Pei. You remember Shar-Pei dogs? You know, they're all wrinkled. This one we called Lacey. Shar-Pei that she'd had from a little puppy. And it was the funniest little dog. Lacey, we'd say, "Lacey, go to the shower." And Lacey would put her head down, and what little bit of a tail she had would go down, and she'd walk like this all the way to the shower. She understood what shower meant. She hated showers, but she went because she knew there was no point in resisting. It is futile to resist. And so we'd take her in there and give her a shower. And then I brought that up. I said, let me give you an example here, Charity. I said, "Lacey, you know, you got Lacey, this dog. You love Lacey, don't you?" "Yeah, I do." She's mad at me anyway, you know. "Yeah, I love Lacey." I said, you don't let Lacey run out on the highway, do you?" "Nope." I said, "You know, Lacey, you make Lacey take a shower." "Lacey doesn't like to take showers. But you make her take a shower because you don't want her to have fleas and, you know, you want her to be dirty." And we live out in the country. You can hear coyotes in the fields at night, you know. And I said, "You know, the coyotes out there, you don't care about those coyotes, do you?" "Nope." I said, "They don't have any rules at all, do they?" "Nope." You know, and I said, "You know what? They don't live near as long as Lacey does. But see, you don't care about those coyotes, so you don't care what they do. But you care about Lacey, and you want Lacey to live a long life. And so you make Lacey take showers, and you put powder on Lacey, and, you know, you make her put a leash on her. You don't let her go out in the road and run around. You make sure she stays in the house and all that. See, she has rules because you love her, and if you didn't love her, she wouldn't have any rules at all. That's what you're asking me to do. You're asking me to love you less. Are you out there? God has rules because he loves us. Because he knows we will live longer. He knows our children will rise up and call us blessed. He knows that if we'll do this, praise God, it'll be better for us and our children and our grandchildren. He just wants to bless us. That's all he wants to do. And that's why he says, "Do these things and fear me and walk in my ways and listen to my word and tend to my word, for it will be life," 22nd verse, "life to those that find them, and it will be health to all their flesh." Woo! Man, that'd be worth digging in right there, wouldn't it? I want life. I want health. Well, I want to dig into God's word and get it. I want to learn to trust God, to really trust him, not worry and stress out. I want to really turn things over to the Lord, because God just has my best interest in mind. Hallelujah.